Romans chapter 12 and verse 2, New Living Translation. It says, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God, and that's where our message title comes from this morning, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Okay, our subject this morning is let God. Let us pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we ask you that you will breathe upon us this morning. We ask you that, Father, you will instruct us by yourself, inspire us, and instruct us with your word. Bring about change in our thinking. Bring about change in our experiences. Bring about change in our lives through the instrumentality of your word this morning. We thank you, Father, and we worship you. For in Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen. All right. This message is a variant of last week's message, or should I say an expression, okay, or another expression of last Sunday's message. It is not a continuation, it's an expansion. And honestly speaking, I think this is the first time I'm doing this, all right, in my life, okay? It's not a continuation of the message, it's an expansion. You know what that means? I'm going to say some things you heard me say last week, and then I'm going to explain them in deeper dimensions, and yet I would say some things that I did not say last week. So it's like last week's message, but it's a different message entirely. I was going to move on, okay? But the Holy Spirit said we should come back here. There are still things we need to talk about. So would you run along with me this morning? Okay, so I told you last week, I said that you are being transformed inside out. Okay? You are being transformed inside out. In case you're wondering what God is up to in your life, God is focused on your transformation. And you need to understand how that process is taking place. It is from inside out. And I explained it to you that at salvation, your spirit is brand new. Okay? Then the renewal of your mind is activated. That process begins after your salvation. Okay? And then the state of your mind ultimately determines your behavior. So you see, ultimately you will act differently. But the process does not start externally. Okay? It's after some time that you will see your body and your behavior correspond with the reality of your heart. I told you again last week that the Holy Spirit is working on your mind. The reason why I'm sharing this with you is so that we can all be specific. You know what God is up to and what is happening right now. The Holy Spirit is working on your mind. When I say your mind, I mean the way you think. And the tool that He is using is the Word of God. The Holy Spirit is using the Word of God to work on your mind. You need to get that. Okay? The Holy Spirit is using the Word of God to work on your mind. What is He trying to achieve? He wants you to grow spiritually till you become the image of Christ. Hallelujah. Let's read Hebrews chapter 8. We read it last week. Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10 to verse 12. It says, this is the covenant I will establish with the people of Israel after that time, declares the Lord. Now this is instructive. I will put my laws in their minds and write them on their hearts. Now your mind talks about, yes, your mental faculty, but your heart talks about the core of your being. Essentially, God is saying your conscious mind and your subconscious mind. I will write my laws, or I will put my principles in their minds, and I will write them on their hearts. Let's move on. It says, I will be their God, and they will be my people. No longer will they teach their neighbor or say to one another, know the Lord. This is very important. In the New Testament, our experience of God, our knowledge of God is subjective and personal. And God says, I'm going to take the responsibility of revealing myself to you, of making myself known to you. I will be your God. So it's not just our God. He's not God because we all agree that He is God. He is your God because you have a personal experience of Him. And that's what I came to talk about this morning. He says, each one of them will know me. All of them will know me from the least to the greatest. From the least to the greatest. In other words, it's a subjective and customized intimacy that we have in the New Testament. Verse 12 says, for I will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins no more. Hallelujah. Now, this is my message today. There are things you need to learn because there are things you have to do. Okay, you need to get this. After your salvation, there are things God already ordained for you to do. You know, Acts chapter 10 and verse 38, you are being formed into the image of Christ. Now, the Bible says concerning Jesus in Acts 10, 38, how God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Now, watch this. If the same Holy Spirit that came on Jesus is now on you and you are growing into the image of Christ, of a necessity, you ought to also go ahead and what? And do like Jesus did. Okay, Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10 says, we are the workmanship. Hallelujah. God is working on us. God is crafting us. He says, we are God's workmanship. A translation says, we are his craftsmanship recreated in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God ordained before time that we should walk in them. So there are things you need to learn because there are things you need to do. We're taking Christianity away from the realm of religion. It's a relationship. It's practical. There is a purpose for it. There are things you need to do on your job. There are things you need to do in your marriage. There are things you need to do in your finances. As far as your life is concerned, there are things you need to do differently. And how you're going to know to do differently is because he's going to teach you. What I'm saying to you is that the Holy Spirit is your customized teacher. This is what it means. It teaches you the way you understand. Okay, it teaches you the way you understand. I have a few friends. I have some of them that are very intelligent, photographic memory. You say something once, they get it. To such a person, the Holy Spirit will say it once and they get it. I have a few other friends who have to hear it over and over and over again. And to such a person, the Holy Spirit will say it over and over and over and over again. The kind of person I am, I'm a creative, okay? I'm very imaginative. So guess what? He speaks to me using ideas and pictures. Most of the time when I wake up in the morning, I wake up with concepts and ideas. I love words, okay? I love prose. I love, you know, literature. And sometimes it will give me words. It will speak to me with literature. Music communicates to me a lot. And a lot of times it comes to me through music. So you need to understand this relationship with the Holy Spirit is not a church thing. It's a personal thing that happens between you and the Holy Spirit. And it will tailor himself to your personality, okay? To the peculiarity of your life. Watch, this is what I'm trying to say. If you are the kind of person that can't wake up early in the morning, probably because you squat with somebody or you are many in the house and can't get away early in the morning to pray, okay, the Holy Spirit understands. If all he can get is you on your commute to work and you just sit down in the bus and put your earphones on, believe you me, if that's the time you have, the Holy Spirit will reach you at that time. Are you getting this? If you're a night person, it will reach you at night. He is a spirit. He does not sleep. He does not slumber. He does not get tired. He is your customized teacher. What I'm trying to let you understand is your relationship with the Holy Spirit is not about a super powerful Holy Spirit doing things for you. No. Jesus said to his disciples, I would ask the Father, he will send the comforter. He says, another of my kind. And when Jesus was here, what was he called? He was a teacher. He was a rabbi. And the same way Jesus taught is the same way the Holy Spirit wants to teach you. Look at this statement the Holy Spirit dropped on my heart. He said the anointing implies intimate relationship, not a superpower. When you hear the anointing, okay, for a lot of people, when they hear, oh, that guy is anointed, their mind goes to Superman, Spider-Man, okay? He has superpowers. No, the anointing is a smearing. Are you getting this? The anointing is a smearing. It says the anointing, okay, it describes an intimate partnership. When the Bible says you are anointed or it says God will anoint you, it's saying, look, you and the Holy Spirit will be intimate. Not that one power will control you and you don't know what's going on. No, he wants to teach you. Primarily, the Holy Spirit is a teacher. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 20. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 20. It says, but you have an anointing from the Holy One. The Holy One here now is Christ. You have an anointing from the Holy One. Remember, John the Baptist says, the one coming after me will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Okay, he says you have an anointing from the Holy One and all of you know the truth. Hallelujah. This anointing results in knowledge. This anointing leads to knowledge. So if you claim, oh, I'm walking with the Holy Ghost, oh, I'm anointed by the Holy Spirit, and you don't know much more today than you did yesterday, you are still in religion. You have an anointing from the Holy One, and all of you know the truth because the Holy Spirit is a teacher. The same 1 John chapter 2, verse 27. Look at what it says. It says, as for you, the anointing you received from him remains in you. And you do not need anyone to teach you. I explained this to you last week, that the Holy Spirit is your primary teacher, even though he may use human agents. So you need to understand the agents are not the big deal, but the one who uses agents to teach you. So if the agent should go into error, it's not a problem. because the agent is not your teacher. The Holy Ghost is your teacher. So when he says, you have no need that any man teach you, what he's saying is, you don't pay attention to the words of a man as much as you pay attention to the words of the Holy Spirit. Because men are men, and they can make mistakes. Men can be wrong. Men can change their mind. A person who's been walking with the Holy Spirit for 20 years can wake up tomorrow and say, there's no God. That shouldn't affect you when you have built this personal relationship with the Holy Spirit. God is my source. People are resources. Once that dawns on you, God can use anybody to teach me. Okay? That's what the Bible is saying here. It says, you do not need anyone to teach you. It says, but as his anointing teaches you about all things. Can you see this now? As his anointing teaches you about all things, and that anointing is real, not counterfeit, just as it has taught you, remain in him. Now look at what the Bible is saying. Go back. But as his anointing teaches you about all things. This blessed me when I saw it. The Holy Spirit teaches us about all things. Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit teaches us about all things. Somebody say all things. See, the Holy Spirit, so somebody says, oh, Pastor, my marriage is in a bad place, okay? We are not friends. Listen, and I'm taking it to God in prayer. And that's what we do. That's religion. So I'm going to pray about it. You know, a lot of times when people have issues and they say, I say, what are you doing? So I've been praying about it. I always like to ask them, what's the prayer point? So I'm praying about exactly what are you saying? And a lot of times what we are saying is, God, take it away. God, solve it. God, fix it. Listen, the person you are talking to is a teacher. I'm going to get there in a moment. And the Bible says it teaches us about all things. In other words, in your business, you can pray to God and ask him to teach you. Are you getting this? David said he was the one that taught my hands to war. He taught my fingers to fight. God can teach you everything. God can, see now, God knows your spouse. So God can teach you how you can make your spouse happy. How you can stop getting on the nerves of your spouse. How you can be at peace with your spouse. Listen, God knows your child. God knows you. This is beautiful. So God can teach you how you should raise your child. Okay, what we do in general education is we take all the kids, we put them in the same class, and then we have one form of teaching to teach all form of kids, and they're all different. Now, God is better than us. And so God says, when it comes to me teaching you, I take you into consideration. If you're a slow learner, I'll be a slow teacher. If you're a fast learner, I'll be a fast teacher. Okay, if you're a graphic learner, I'll be a graphic teacher. If you love to learn with music, I will teach you with music. If you love to learn from nature, I will teach you with nature. But this is important. He is about teaching you. So the question I came to ask you this morning is, what have you been learning? Okay, what have you been learning? Can you point to one or two things and say, look, this is what I'm learning. Look, as far as my life is concerned, as far as my marriage is concerned, as far as my job is concerned, as far as my business is concerned, as far as life is concerned, this is what the Holy Spirit taught me. Listen, I'm doing this thing differently now because of what the Holy Spirit taught me. On this date, I learned from the Spirit that this is what I should do. Okay, and then, you know, and this is the result I'm getting. If you are not living that kind of life, you are missing out on a lot of things. Okay, I told you last week that fellowship and ministry is how you participate in your own growth. Now, that's important, very important. Fellowship and ministry, and I'm not going to talk about ministry. I spoke about ministry last week. I just want to dovetail a little bit into fellowship this morning. Now, look, when you make out time to fellowship with God, okay, when you fellowship with the Holy Spirit, you are giving him time to teach you. Okay, I like this statement that says that there cannot be a meeting of minds if the minds don't meet. So if there's anything you have to do, you have to commit yourself to consistent fellowship with the Holy Spirit. I told you last week that it's your place of review, it's your place of refreshing, and it's your place of relaunch. So you will go to the place of prayer, make a habit of praying in tongues, take time. You can't afford to rush it. And just pray in the Holy Ghost. I commit my life into your hands. I submit my life to you. Help me to understand. Turn on the light in my life. And he will respond. First, he will refresh. He will review your life for you. Okay? He will refresh you. All right? And then he will give you the capacity to relaunch. That's what happens in the place of prayer. Now, the Holy Spirit dropped a powerful statement in my heart, and this is very instructive. He said, the place of prayer is a place of insight, not a dumping site. I'll say it again. The place of prayer is a place of insight, not a dump site. The place of prayer is a place of insight, not a dump site. And you know, this statement came to me when I was meditating on, but you know, I was meditating on this message and I was asking him a question. But the Bible says, cast your cares upon him. Okay? And he said, look, I didn't say cast your cares and become careless. I said, cast your cares. In other words, don't worry about it. But don't be irresponsible. In other words, when I take it to God in prayer, I should wait to hear what he has to say in response. And the Holy Spirit dropped in my heart that a lot of times his response to our prayer is light. Yes. Hallelujah. His response to our prayer is what? Is light. John chapter 1 and 4 says, in him was life, and that life was the light of men. Jeremiah 33 and verse 3 says what? Ask and I would answer. How does he answer? I will show you great and mighty things that you know not. So when you take a matter to God in prayer, wait so that you will receive light. A lot of times we just want to dump problems on him, dump the situation on him. I've told God about it, and then you are willing to be careless. And you are, no. He says, look, in response to your prayer, I will teach you. In response to your prayer, I will show you what to do. James chapter 1 and verse 17. Let me read it to you this morning from the Message Bible. James chapter 1 and verse 17. From the Message Bible says, every desirable and beneficial gift comes out of heaven. The gifts are rivers of light cascading down from the Father of light. Can you see that? Okay, every desirable and beneficial gift comes out of heaven. He says, these gifts we are talking about, they are rivers of light. Hallelujah. Rivers of light cascading down from the Father of light. Is the Father of light, when he wants to answer our prayers, he answers us with rivers of light. There is nothing deceitful in God, nothing two-faced, nothing fickle. Look again at Colossians chapter 1 and verse 9. This has become my favorite in recent times. Colossians chapter 1, let's read verse 9 to 12 this morning. It says, for this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God. In other words, if he said we continually ask God, it means this is a prayer you can pray continually. Hallelujah. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will. Hallelujah. Can you see that? What God wants to, a lot of times people are expecting material things from God. God says, no. I want to fill you with the knowledge of my will. It's about light, with the knowledge of my will. How? Through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives. Hallelujah. What does the Holy Spirit give? Understanding and wisdom. Understanding and wisdom. Now look at verse 10. See, the moment I'm filled or I continue to receive the knowledge of his will, the moment I receive it by wisdom and the understanding the Holy Spirit gives, verse 10 says, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way. Can you see this? Bearing fruit in every good work. That's productivity. So I want to be effective on my job. I want to be a better husband. I want to be a better parent. I want to be a better entrepreneur. He says, pray that God will fill you with the knowledge of his will. When you go into fellowship with the Holy Spirit, what should you expect? Wisdom and understanding that the Holy Spirit supplies. Hallelujah. When you have it, the Bible says you'll be fruitful. You'll be productive in every good work. Next, it says, you will continually grow in the knowledge of God. Verse 11 says, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might. So that you may have great endurance and patience. That's character. So, if I think my character is bad, or if the feedback I'm getting from people is that I'm still, you know, inadequate, or I have some growing up to do, I need to grow, maybe emotional intelligence and all that, the Bible is telling me this is the way to get it. I should go into God, or go into the place of prayer, and ask him to fill me with the knowledge of his will, through the wisdom and understanding that the Holy Spirit supplies. When I pray that prayer, the Bible says the answer to that prayer over time is that light will flood my heart. I will be strengthened with all power according to his glorious might. Just then I will have great endurance and patience. Hallelujah. Verse 12 says, and giving joyful thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of his holy people. Watch this, ladies and gentlemen. In the kingdom of light. Hallelujah. This kingdom is a kingdom of light. Hallelujah. This kingdom is a kingdom of light. He is the Father of light. He responds to us with rivers of light. See, I think the challenge with so many people when they pray is one thing to ask amiss. I think a lot of people expect amiss. It's the kingdom of light. Listen, you need to get this. God created the heavens, and then God created the earth. And then Bible says that God has given the earth to us for us to walk in dominion. God wants to see us in action on earth. So God is not going to come to the earth to do for us what he designed us to do for ourselves. Listen, if your marriage is in a tough place and you just pray about it and your husband that didn't used to like you suddenly begins to like you, okay, that's not God's will. God wants you to understand what's going on. God wants you to now begin to act differently. See, at the end of the day, God wants the glory, but he wants you to get the credit. Hallelujah. God wants your spouse to be able to say, my spouse is growing, my wife is growing, my husband is growing. Okay, for your boss to say, you know, you have grown in your competence. Things are getting better. Not just that we don't know the reason why, we just know every end of the month we pay you. That's not favor. Okay, and every month, no. Potiphar said to Joseph, he said, I've observed. that since you came, my work has been growing. Things are getting better. There are tangible results. It's not mysterious. And Bible says the way God does it is that he floods us with what? He floods us with light. Because this kingdom is a kingdom of light. Isaiah 48 and verse 47. Look at what the Bible says here. It says, this is what the Lord says. Your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. I am the Lord your God. What do I do? Who teaches you what is best for you? He teaches. He wants to teach you. So the question is, are you learning? He doesn't want to do it for you as much as he wants to teach you. Let me apply this to this pandemic that we're going through. As we pray for God to take away the pandemic, you know what God is going to do? He's going to flood the heart of people with light. Men will come up with solution, okay? So when they find the cure, when they find the vaccine and everything begins to work fine, don't say men fixed it. God fixed it, but he reveals or he releases light. Hallelujah. And I don't know about you, if that's your field, okay? If that's your field, then begin to ask God to show you light. You're a pharmacist, you're a medical doctor, begin to ask God for light, okay? Light, solution. The solution doesn't have to come from any other place. It can come from you. Okay, hallelujah. Isaiah 48 and verse 17 again. This is what the Lord says. Your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. I am the Lord your God who teaches you what is best for you. Who directs you in the way you should go. God is a teacher. The Holy Spirit is a teacher. He wants to teach you. So my message to you this morning is let God teach you. Let God direct you. Let God show you the way. Amen. As we begin to round up this morning, I want to show you three stages of the transformation process. Okay, I couldn't get into this last week. Three stages of the transformation process. Now, the reason why I'm sharing this is because quite a number of people will tell you, I've been born again, okay? And I see other people testifying how they've been changed and how they've been transformed, but I've not seen the same thing happen in my life. Let me explain to you what is going on, okay? It's a process. Okay, and there are three stages now. You won't see these three stages spelled out like this in scripture. This is my approach to helping you understand your process, okay, through observation of my life and other people's life and understanding of scripture. So this is stage one. The Spirit engages you, and in stage one, okay, he heals you. Don't forget, he uses the word of God. You go to church, you're reading the Bible, you spend time in devotion, you listen to audio messages. What is happening is healing is taking place. Healing is taking place. You may still not find yourself behaving like those ones that have been born again 20 years ago. You may not be as faithful as they are, as committed as they are. You may not be able to give like they give or pray like they pray. But something is happening inside you. Healing is taking place. Okay? Some people have gone through abuse, have gone through neglect. Okay? Things have happened in your past. And when you come to him, the first thing he wants to do is to what? He wants to heal you. Okay? What's the product of that process? The product of that process is a new identity. How you know the Holy Spirit is at work in me and I'm evolving and I'm growing is you will begin to see yourself differently. Let me tell you the ultimate key to change. The ultimate key to change is when you see yourself differently. It's not, let me give you the way somebody explained it. I love this. If you can get your hand on the book, Atomic Habits, it really blessed me when I was reading it. And this was the illustration the author gave. That look, when you meet somebody and you say, oh, you want some cigarette? It's one thing for somebody to say, I'm trying to quit smoking. It's another for somebody to say, oh, I don't smoke. It's a function of identity. The first one sees himself as a smoker who is trying to quit. The other one sees himself as a person who does not smoke. Are you getting this? And this is what happens to you when you fellowship with the Holy Spirit. It changes your identity. So there are certain things you will start doing and there are certain things you will stop doing because of the way you see yourself. Let me give an example. It's like, say, I go to the cinema and somebody was, you know, trying to get to his own seat and then the person stepped on me. And then I say to the person, hey, you're stepping on me. And then the guy turns back to me and says, so what are you going to do about it? Do you want to fight? You see, at that point in time, my response is not a function of provocation. My response is a function of my identity. So this guy has stepped on my toes now. Can a whole man of God be fighting in a cinema? I'm not that kind of person, so I'm not going to do it. A lot of people want to check who they are by what they do. And the Holy Spirit says, no, it's the other way around. The starting point is healing. I will heal you so much that you will see yourself differently. It's a new identity. That's the starting point. And that was what happens in stage one. Then we move to stage two. In stage two, you have renewal of the mind. Okay, renewal of your mind. And what's the product of this process is a new perspective. You begin to see things differently. That's stage two. Okay? It's not a new identity now, it's a new perspective. You begin to see things differently. So for example, a person with a renewed mind, okay, sees this pandemic season differently. That's why for us at Hill City, we're calling it fruitful season. Because that's the way we see it. Because we understand from Psalm 1 and verse 3 that we bear fruit in every season. So whether the going is good or the going is bad, we bear fruit. If you've been laid off your job or you've gotten a cut in pay, you need to understand it's going to work together for your good. Hallelujah. It's going to work together for your good. It's going to work together for your good. It's a new perspective. Okay, everybody will say it's evil. You will see the opportunity. I mean, just like David and David when he fought Goliath, everybody saw a giant that was too big to fight. David had a different perspective. He saw a giant that was too big to miss. He ran towards what everybody was running away from because of a different perspective. The same thing with Elisha. The servant came to him and said, "Master, we are surrounded." Elisha did not pray, "Father, deliver us." Elisha prayed, "Father, open his eyes." In other words, the reason why Elisha was cool was not because he didn't know he was surrounded. The reason why he was cool is because his perspective was different. He was seeing differently from the physical. So he said, "Lord, open his eyes. Let him see what I am seeing." And so that he would understand the reason why I am not perturbed. Because they that are with us are more than those against us. Hallelujah. So what happens to you is you begin to see things differently. You begin to see things differently. When somebody comes to you and say, "Well, I'm in need," and you give to them. A person who doesn't have a different perspective says, "Oh, that's my money going away." A person that understands, okay, the word of God and has fellowship with the Holy Spirit knows, "Oh, every time I give is an opportunity to multiply." I like the way Mike Murdock says it. "The money that leaves my hand does not leave my life. It only goes into my future where it multiplies." And so you are open to giving. When people make a demand of you, you know, when I do anything for people, it's going to come back to me. Good measure, press down, shake it together, and running over. It's a different perspective. You look at your spouse and you know, "I am here to serve this person." You look at your children, "I am here to serve this person. They are not here to serve me." So as the father of the house, when there's three meats left in the pot, you don't eat two and leave one for three children. You have a different perspective. Okay, you have money, you take care of your family first, you place every other person before you, and you know by doing that, I'm not subservient, I'm not inferior. By doing that, okay, I am their leader, because Jesus said, "The one that wants to be great among you must be the servant of all." A new perspective. That's what begins to happen to you at second stage. Okay, renewal of the mind. Renewal of the mind. So as you are listening to me this morning, it's either you are at healing stage, okay, when you leave healing stage, you don't see yourself like your past. Some of the people that used to know you before will look at you and they will call you what they used to call you, and it will not even affect you because you're a different person. Okay? Then at stage two, you have a new perspective. You see, some people, every time they talk about Nigeria, they talk negative about Nigeria. But some of us look at Nigeria and we see things from a different perspective. Are you getting this? We see it. It's not because we just want to be positive. It's just because we see differently. Okay? We see differently. And then third stage. Now, stage three is where everybody wants to live. Stage three is where it's the one that is very popular. But please, if you don't have stage one and stage two, it's difficult for you to step to stage three. Now, at stage three is where we have instructions and obedience. That's where you hear somebody says, "Oh, I did this because the Holy Spirit said I should do it." Okay? "I did this because the Holy Spirit said to do it." How do I know I'm in stage three? You lack resistance to the leading of the Holy Ghost. Your flesh is no longer in charge. Now you follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. The Bible says, "As many as are led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God." That's the height of maturity, being led of the Spirit. You've already decided to do something, okay? And then the Holy Spirit says, "Don't do it otherwise." And you notice your resistance is very low. You know that I'm maturing now, okay? I'm maturing now. And guess what? What's the product of stage three? Understanding. That is beautiful. Listen, understanding comes after obedience. The Holy Spirit will instruct you. You will obey Him. Then you will see the reward of your obedience. Then you will understand the principle of God's word. At stage three, people now begin to see you differently. Now, for most of us, stage three is where we want to go to. But you need to understand, you've got to go from stage one to stage two to stage three. So what if I make a mistake when I'm in stage one? What if I falter when I'm in stage two? That's why the grace of God has covered you. Romans chapter 8 and verse 1. "There's therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus," okay, "who walk after the Spirit, not after the flesh." Okay? It says, "For the law of the Spirit that gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death." So God knows you are on your way, okay, to stage three. So every step of the way, He offers grace so that you can get to a place of understanding. See, the moment you get to understanding, there are certain things you will never do anymore. Once you have understanding, there are some things you will never do anymore. But I've just showed you the path to understanding, then people will begin to see you differently. Then they will say things like, you know, you are just always faithful. You are always praying. It's because you understand prayer. You understand the power of prayer. You understand the power of service. You understand the power of giving. Why some people don't do it is because they lack understanding. Okay, I believe that these stages of transformation, I believe it has blessed you. Before we round up this morning, I want to show you because I believe in self-evaluation. So let me help that person, okay, that is asking, okay, am I growing? I want to know, Pastor, am I growing? I've showed you different ways to measure how you are growing, but I want to give you another one, okay? This is another test. Let's call it the James test this morning, okay? For you to measure if you are truly growing. James chapter 3 and verse 13 to 18. And that's where we're going to stop this morning. James chapter 3 verse 13 to 18. It says, who is wise and understanding among you? Now remember, understanding is stage three. So the question is, who is mature now? Who is a growing believer now? How do we know you are growing? How do we know you are maturing? It says, let them show it by their good life, by deeds done in humility that comes from wisdom. Can you see this now? What does the Holy Spirit give? Wisdom and understanding. Now, there are things you are going to begin to do that will flow out of that wisdom and understanding. That's how you know. But it goes further to give us another test. It says, but if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom. In other words, that idea, that project you're trying to execute, okay, it says it does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. The moment you're trying to do anything and it's about you, okay, it's selfish. And in your heart, there is bitterness. Okay, I'm telling you this. I've been in church for quite a long time. I've seen people serve God with bitterness. I've seen people wake up in the morning, come to church with the intention of fighting somebody at the meeting at the end of the service. And the person will wait throughout the service and attend that meeting that is 40 minutes after the service, and the person will still fight. That person, it's not about the service, it's not about whether was the service anointed or not. You see, that person, he probably has not even gotten to stage one. And there are so many people who have a semblance of Christianity, but who are denying the power. What do I mean by denying the power? They are not fellowshipping with the Holy Spirit. They are not allowing these stages to go on in their lives. And this is how you measure. Verse 16 says, for where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice. What are those two things? Envy, selfish ambition. Envy. It says the moment you find those two things, then you find all manner of disorder. So when you look in your heart, and listen, you've got to be honest with yourself. When you are envious, you know you are envious. Oh, Pastor, help me to understand when I'm envious. If you don't have an idea about something, or something was never your desire until you saw somebody else with it, that's envy. You were not planning to go on vacation in the Bahamas until somebody came and was just gisting in church, okay, and says, oh, I just came back from the Bahamas. You're like, she went to the Bahamas. Me too, I must go. That's envy. What's selfish ambition? When you are desirous of something and the reason for it is you. Sometimes it's even good intentions. Like the Tower of Babel. Let's build a tower and a city that will reach to heaven. And a lot of times we hide it behind religion. Oh, can I just, I want to buy this thing for the house of God. And you know it's because you want to become important. I need that pastor to know that me and some of these people are not mates. Someone even told me about one time in a church that the pastor raised an offering and one person came to him and said, who committed to the highest amount of money? Okay? And the person told him and said, how much did the person pledge to give? Let's assume the person said, I'm going to give 300. He said, write my name down. I will give 310. So the objective is not meeting the needs of the house of God. His objective is, I want to give more than anybody that gives. It's selfish ambition. The Bible says, once you see that, there's no maturity there. It says, all manner of evil is what you will see in such a place. Look at verse 17. But the wisdom that comes from heaven, this is how you know you're growing and maturing. It says, it's first of all pure. It has no hidden agenda, no ulterior motive. It's first of all pure. It says, then peace-loving. When you are pursuing an agenda and there's conflict and you are not willing to let go of your project or your agenda is for peace, you are not in maturity. You are in the flesh. It says, it's peace-loving. It is considerate. It is submissive. It is full of mercy and good fruit or good character. Okay? Impartial and sincere. Verse 18 says, peacemakers who sow in peace reap a harvest of righteousness. What is righteousness? Righteousness is access to God. Right standing with God. Now the Bible is saying, we'll get closer. We'll share more fellowship because you are a peacemaker. Hallelujah. And that's how you measure. Oh, I'm truly growing. You are a man of peace. You are a woman of peace. You are a person of peace. If something will violate peace, you back off. because you know that peace is more important, because it's in the place of peace that God has commanded his blessing. I hope you are blessed by that word this morning. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for the word we've received this morning. Father, because beyond hearing this word, we receive grace and understanding to live out the principles we've heard this morning. Father, we receive a shift. We receive a shift in our thinking and in our understanding in the name of Jesus. We become all that you ordained for us to become in the name of Jesus. We walk in the light of scripture. We fulfill your will for us in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord, and we worship you. For in Jesus' name we have prayed.